Airplane Intel Podcast, Episode 92. This time, we review the Cessna 182 series of aircraft to give you a complete buyer's guide. We'll discuss everything you need to know from its history and model differences, performance specs and ownership costs, maintenance gotchas and ADs, and take a look at the current market and pricing. If you ever thought about buying a 182, you won't want to miss this.
Are you an aircraft owner, pilot, or mechanic? Do you want to learn how to increase safety, reduce risk, and save money with your airplane? Then you are in the right place. This is the Airplane Intel Podcast, the only show that tells you how to make aircraft ownership simple, safe, and cost-effective. Featuring the pre-buy guys and brought to you by CoFlight.com. We bring over 100 years combined experience flying, maintaining, and managing all types of aircraft. If you're ready to make smarter decisions and get more out of your airplane, stay tuned.
What is up, everyone? Happy New Year to you. I hope you're off to a great 2022 so far. And of course, welcome to yet another edition of the Airplane Intel Podcast. We're an aviation podcast that focuses on the ins and outs of airplane ownership. It's our goal to help you make safer and smarter decisions when it comes to buying, maintaining, and managing your personal or business aircraft. I'm Adam. I'm an AMPIA, CFII, and president of Airplane Intel, a full-service aircraft ownership and management company. If you're new to the show, welcome aboard. It's great to meet you. And if you're a longtime listener, welcome back. I greatly appreciate your loyalty. On the show, we compare airplanes, interview airplane owners and industry experts, and of course, share our real-world experiences working in the field every day with airplane buyers and owners. You can check out all of our past episodes, show notes, and free resources at airplaneintelpodcast.com. And while you're there, join the conversation by dropping me a line. You know I love hearing from you. Boy, do we have an exciting episode planned for you. Today, we are talking about the Cessna 182 series of aircraft, by far one of the most ubiquitous aircraft in the skies today. In fact, it's one of the most common aircraft we help our clients buy. The Cessna 182 is a simple, reliable, and safe aircraft easily accessible to pilots of all skill levels. It's packed full of utility and performance with excellent part support and a ton of upgrade options. The 182 has a lot of history with its roots dating back to the mid-1940s and almost two dozen iterations. The Cessna 182 also fits a wide variety of mission profiles. However, despite its success, not all 182s are created equal. In just a moment, we're going to take a deep dive into the history and specs of the Cessna 182 series, including model differences and performance. There's so much here that I have to break this down into two parts. So in part two, which will air in February, we'll get into aircraft ownership and maintenance costs, current pricing and inventory, and more to give you a complete 182 buyer's guide. Now, I've been wanting to do this episode for over a year because it's such an incredible airplane. But before we dive in, I have a few announcements. First, Sarah and I welcomed a baby girl on December 28th. She's our first child, so we weren't really sure what we were in for, but it has been an amazing experience. She's teaching us a lot already, and we couldn't possibly be happier. Another new addition was made to our YouTube channel. I recently posted a video where we took a tour of the world's first single-pilot jet. Can you guess what airplane I'm talking about? Head over to youtube.com/airplaneintel to check it out for yourself. And while you're there, please consider subscribing as we add new content regularly. Now, since our last episode, we've been quite busy helping our clients with aircraft acquisitions and maintenance. I recently did an annual inspection on a gorgeous Piper Aero 4, a phase 1 through 4 inspection on a Citation, and an oil change and engine work on a Beach Baron. We've also been doing pre-buys and buyer's assistance on two Cessna 414s, a Cessna 421, and a Citation 550. And we've got a lot more planned for February and March as well. I'd like to welcome our newest Patreon supporter, Al Eisland. Welcome aboard, Al, and thank you for your contribution to the show. Without you and all of our patrons, this show would not be possible. In fact, I had the privilege of meeting one of our Patreon supporters, David O'Neill. David owns a beautiful Cessna 182 and also flies for a charter operator out of Kentucky. So it was really awesome meeting you, David. And I also met with another podcast listener and his son late last week, which is super cool. I appreciate you guys taking the time to hunt me down. It really is awesome meeting you guys in person. Now, next time any of you guys are at the Ocala International Airport, KOCF, come by and say hello. So without further ado, let's dive into today's topic. All right, guys, let's talk about the Cessna 182. Certainly one of the most popular and in-demand single-engine piston airplanes of all time. And for good reason. Why? Because it delivers exceptional capability at an exceptional value without a lot of unnecessary complexity. It's an accessible airplane to transition into for low-time pilots, yet packs a punch when it comes to flexibility and utility, making it perfect for seasoned pilots too. The Cessna 182 is a four-place, high-performance, single-engine piston aircraft built by Cessna Aircraft Company from 1956 to 1986, then again from 1997 to present. The aircraft features Cessna's infamous high-wing design with a tricycle landing gear and constant speed propeller. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that mission drives decision. Simply put, you choose an airplane make and model that is most compatible with your mission, budget, and preferences based on its capabilities, performance, and economics. Being in production for more than 50 years, there are many differences in each iteration of the Cessna 182, some more substantial than others. With so many variants of the 182, it's prudent to take it one step further. You must weigh the features and benefits of each iteration in the series to understand their strengths and weaknesses. Simply put, not all Cessna 182s are created equal. Some are more capable, while others are more economical, and each flourish with slightly different mission profiles. So let's start by taking a quick dive into the history of the Cessna 182 and its variants. Following World War II, Cessna Aircraft Company was planning for the future of private air travel. Cessna's president, Dwayne Wallace, recognized the need for a simple, easy-to-fly training airplane as well as a family hauling machine. Prior to the war, Cessna was building several aircraft, including the 190-195 and Airmaster. Instinctively, Dwayne realized that these aircraft were too complex and expensive for the average pilot. Plus, Cessna saw the need to continue building aircraft using sheet metal rather than wood and fabric construction of the previous era. As a result, the Cessna 140 was born. The Cessna 140 is a conventional gear 85 horsepower two-seat aircraft featuring a high-wing design with strut braces and metal construction. The strut brace design is known as a semi-cantilever wing, which reduces the aerodynamic loads placed on the wing structure. The 140 first flew on June 28, 1945, and paved the way for almost all single-engine Cessna aircraft designs that followed, with exception to the Cessna Cardinal and 210. The Cessna 140 came with an electrical system, mechanical flaps, and side window for better visibility. Interestingly, the Cessna 140 had been in production prior to the Cessna 120, a stripped-down version of the 140 without the standard features like an electrical system. The 120 was mainly intended for flight schools as a primary trainer. With the training aircraft out of the way, the next objective was to design a family hauler with more seats and more power. In short order, Cessna developed the 170, a stretched and enhanced version of the 140. The 170 first flew November 5, 1945, and featured the same design philosophy as the 140, but with four seats and a 145 horsepower engine. As the post-war decade came to a close, many Cessna 140s and 170s were flown by private pilots and commercial operators alike. In the process, Cessna gained valuable feedback from its owners. As general aviation continued to evolve, Cessna recognized the need for an even more capable airplane. As a result, Cessna engineers went back to the drawing board to find ways of improving the 170's design to handle more weight and more power. On May 26, 1952, the Cessna 180 was born. The 180 featured a stronger fuselage, adjustable stabilizer, new fuel system, and a whopping 225 horsepower Continental 470 cubic inch six-cylinder engine. The improved power-to-weight ratio gave the 180 exceptional performance and became Cessna's take-anything-go-anywhere airplane. However, it wasn't long before Cessna's success was interrupted by the competition. Beechcraft, Mooney, and North American introduced new single-engine airplanes that featured tricycle landing gear, marking yet another evolution in general aviation. It didn't take long for the tricycle landing gear design to gain popularity thanks to its better ground handling, improved visibility, and easier landing characteristics compared to the conventional tailwheel. Following Piper's success with the Tri-Pacer, Cessna decided to produce a tricycle landing gear version of the 170 and 180 to be named the 172 and 182 respectively. One of the major components that had to be strengthened on the 182 was the firewall thanks to the increased weight and structural loads. A pneumatic shock strut was also added to the nose wheel along with the centering cam. Nose wheel steering was accomplished with a spring-assisted bungee system that connected directly to the rudder pedals, a simple yet effective system that is still in use today. However, the nose wheel took up a lot of real estate around the engine and cowling, so the exhaust system and cowl flaps had to be redesigned. The 182 had a gross weight of 2,550 pounds. The Cessna 182 successfully completed its first flight on September 10, 1955. The original 182 was equipped with the Continental 0470-L engine, delivering 230 horsepower. It had a gross weight of 2,550 pounds and a fuel capacity of 55 gallons. Despite the extra power of the 0470-L engine, the 182 was still about 5 miles per hour slower than the Cessna 180, thanks to the increased drag caused by the nose landing gear. However, future design improvements would eventually neutralize the differences. Cessna introduced the 182 for the 1956 model lineup and had a base price of, get this, $13,750. Now that's equivalent to about $140,000 in today's money. It proved to be an instant hit with over 844 units sold in the first year. Despite the popularity of the tricycle landing gear, Cessna noticed an unexpected design flaw. Less experienced pilots, likely used to flying tail draggers, would land nose first or allow the aircraft to wheelbarrow on its nose wheel. This tendency caused the somewhat fragile firewall to buckle, leading to significant damage to the nose section, belly, and in many cases, the engine and propeller as well. This issue was corrected over time by strengthening the firewall and shortening the nose gear. However, buckling firewalls is a problem that still persists today and is an area to keep an eye out for during a pre-buy. In 1957, Cessna rolled out the Cessna 180A with several important improvements. First, the main landing gear was shortened by about 4 inches, giving the main gear a wider track. The main gear was also made out of thicker materials for increased strength. The 182A saw an increase in gross weight from the original 2,550 pounds all the way up to 2,650 pounds and an increase in fuel capacity from 60 gallons to 65 gallons. Improvements were made on the inside as well, including a redesigned instrument panel, electrical fuel gauges, strengthened seat frame, and a myriad of cosmetic enhancements. A total of 911 were built. In 1958, the Cessna 182A saw a few more improvements, including a repositioned exhaust stack for improved cylinder cooling and bungee-powered rudder trim system. 1958 was also the year when Cessna introduced a deluxe version of the 182A with a more luxurious interior, three-color exterior paint, and wheel fairings. The deluxe version was officially called the Cessna Skyline, the name still proudly worn on the 182s today. 802 airframes were built during this model year. In 1959, the Cessna 182B came to be with minor improvements over its predecessor. Some of the improvements included a redesigned nose cowling, the installation of cowl flaps, and improved cabin ventilation. 802 airframes were produced. In 1960, you guessed it, the 182C was born, this time with some more significant changes. Gone was the straight tail design, as the 182C was the first iteration to feature a 35-degree swept tail, increasing the fuselage's length by 25 inches. Larger rear windows were introduced along with two additional side windows behind the rear seats. The rear seat bulkhead was also replaced along with the headliner for increased headroom. The control wheels were replaced from metal to strengthened plastic, and an elevator downspring was added for better handling and pitch control. The brake lines were rerouted to decrease the number of clamps and fittings, which reduced the weight and drag. These, along with other minor changes, made the 182C a significant improvement over the previous generations. 650 total airframes were built. In 1961, Cessna rolled out the 182D. The D model featured a key-operated start switch, cam lock fasteners on the engine cowling, and cowling reinforcements. The landing gear height decreased another 4 inches, which provided a small increase in useful load, as well as improved ground handling and better appearance. Also, 182 was added to the aircraft's serial number prefix to be easily deciphered between Cessna's other models. The nose wheel fork was also made stronger to handle the increased weight. Finally, a cowl flap lever was added for easier operation. 591 airframes were built. In 1962, major changes were made as the 182E came to be. A total of 26 design improvements were introduced on the E. Some of the changes included a fuselage width increase of 4 inches, the addition of the rear OmniVision window, a flattened cabin floor, and electric flaps. A new horizontal stabilizer was introduced with a conventional trim tab, replacing the old jack screw actuated adjustable stabilizer. The fuel capacity also saw an increase with the optional 84-gallon tank. The main landing gear was strengthened and the nose wheel steering system was improved. The 182E also saw an engine change from the 0470-L engine to the 0470-R, which improved the crankshaft counterweights. The aileron control system was improved for increased reliability, smoother operation, and easier servicing. Finally, the gross weight was increased from 2,650 pounds all the way up to 2,800 pounds. A total of 826 182Es were built, and the new base price was $18,490. From 1963 through 1964, the 182F and G models were produced respectively. Some minor improvements were made both years, including improved avionics, individual rear seatbacks, interchangeable armrests and headrests, and the option to install a Cessna Navomatic autopilot. The aft baggage hatch shelf was eliminated, allowing for optional reclining rear seats or the addition of a rear child seat. The carburetor heat was also improved by adding a separate heat muff on the exhaust, eliminating the need to rob heat from the cabin to heat the carburetor. Finally, a one-piece rear window was added, and the aft cabin windows were elongated. There were 635 182Fs produced and 786 182G models made. I actually flew a 182F model across the country for a customer last year. Despite its age, it's a very fun, strong, and stable airplane to fly. I hope you guys don't turn down a quality vintage 182 just because of age alone. Several subtle yet important changes were made to the subsequent 182H model in 1965. First, the propeller spinner was increased in length by 1 inch, giving it a more pointed aerodynamic appearance. The horizontal stabilizer and elevator span was increased a total of 10 inches, making it 11 feet 8 inches wide for improved stability. Finally, a thicker one-piece windshield was installed without a center post. A total of 840 H models were built. In 1966, the Cessna 182J was introduced. This time, a magnesium ram horn control wheel replaced the old plastic yoke. A 60-amp alternator was installed, replacing the generator of previous models. And finally, the cabin door latches were redesigned for improved reliability. A total of 941J models were made and had a base price of $17,995. More improvements were made during the 1967 model year with the introduction of the 182K model. First, the vertical stabilizer tip was lengthened 2.5 inches, the nose strut stroke was shortened from 7 inches down to 5, and a flashing beacon light replaced the rotating beacon thanks to a redesigned rudder end cap. A split electrical bus was also utilized to reduce electrical loads, and the nose wheel shimming dampener was improved. The K model also had an enhanced ventilation system that reduced air inlet noise. A total of 880 182Ks were made and had a base price of $18,450. In 1968, Cessna came out with a 182L. The L model featured electric flaps with a position pre-select similar to what we're used to seeing on newer 182s. It also had a flap motor noise filter installed from the factory to not elicit static through the radio. The flap's 10-degree speed was increased to 120 knots, helping the aircraft slow down when establishing in the pattern or on an instrument approach. The instrument panel was also improved with the basic T pattern for your six-pack instrument cluster. The aileron control system was revised to a cable spool system rather than the chains and sprockets. Cockpit lighting was also improved with the post lights mounted to better show trim and fuel selector positions. The aft baggage door handle was enlarged for easier operation, and the main cabin door handles were redesigned. 820 182Ls were made. In 1969, you guessed it, the Cessna 182M model was introduced. However, there were only a few minor changes made. First and foremost, the engine TBO was increased to 1,500 hours. This new TBO was also retroactive on previous generations of the 0470 engine. A turn coordinator was standard equipment on the Skyline variant, which remember is the premium version of the 182. Finally, electroluminescent instrument lighting was also a factory option. The base price of the M model was $18,895, with the Skyline coming in at $19,950. The dawn of a new decade relished many changes starting in 1970 with the Cessna 182N model. First, the conical cambered wing tips came to be, reducing the 182's wingspan by 4 inches. Eyebrow lights were introduced to the instrument panel along with a dimming circuit. The engine cowling was redesigned for improved streamlining and looks. The split master switch that we all know and love today was also introduced. The door handles were beefed up for increased reliability, and an oil quick drain was a factory option. Perhaps most importantly, the aircraft's gross weight increased from 2,800 pounds all the way up to 2,950 pounds, delivering a massive improvement in useful load and payload. A total of 390 airframes were made, with the base price of $19,795 for a standard 182 and $20,895 for a Skyline. The N designation remained in 1971, yet improvements continued to emerge. Front seat shoulder harnesses became standard equipment, along with better soundproofing in the sidewalls and cabin ceiling. The old headliner was replaced with an Ensolite headliner, which is vacuum tight. The baggage area was increased by an entire foot, allowing for up to 200 pounds of payload. Other small changes were made, including a padded glare shield, optional tinted skylights, and an optional leather seat covering. The seat tracks were also improved for better carpet life. A total of 380 182Ns were made during the 1971 model year. The base prices were $20,850 and $21,850 for the standard 182 and Skyline versions, respectively. In 1972, the Cessna 182P was introduced, a model designation that stuck until 1976 with improvements made during each model year. The first set of changes came in 1972 with the repositioning of the landing light from the wings to the nose cowling. Tubular landing gear also replaced the previous steel spring design. The main gear track width was increased to a whopping 109 inches. The maximum landing weight was increased to match the gross weight of the aircraft to 2,950 pounds. The leading edges of the wings were recontoured to increase its camber. The control wheel was also restyled with a urethane padding while also positioning it further forward for more belly room. Finally, an overvoltage relay was installed. Cessna built 671 units in 1972. In 1973, the P model saw further enhancements, including bonded metal cabin doors for added rigidity and better fit, an extended dorsal fin, and shock mounting the entire engine cowling, reducing vibration and noise. Wingtip strobe lights also became optional equipment this model year, along with several other minor cosmetic and avionics upgrades. Cessna built an impressive 1,039 aircraft during the 1973 production year, with a base price of $22,435. In 1974, several changes were made to the P model, including tighter cabin doors and window seals, newly designed engine cowling baffles, and Clark Y propeller. Now, I challenge you guys to look up a Clark Y airfoil. I'll give you a hint. It does have to do with its shape. In the meantime, Cessna built 1,010 more P models this year with a base price of $22,435. The 1975 model brought more subtle changes to the 182P, including a slightly different engine, transitioning from the 0470-R to the 0470-S, which offered slightly better cylinder cooling and improved piston rings. The 230 horsepower rating remained the same. The wheel and brake fairings were also improved, along with tighter cowl flap fairings, providing an additional 5 knots in cruise speed. Finally, a 25-pound capacity utility shelf, aka a hat rack, was added to the aft bulkhead to increase storage area. Cessna built 820 units this year, with a new starting price of a whopping $26,700 and $27,950 for the Skyline. Are you noticing a trend of the prices going up here? Now, all that's equivalent to about $150,000 in today's money. In 1976, the 182P designation remained. However, base model 182s were no longer offered. From this point on, all 182s that came off the factory floor were the posh Skyline version. This is also the model year where the most cosmetic changes were made to the Skyline. First, the airspeed indicator now read in knots rather than miles per hour. A more standardized POH was issued rather than an owner's manual. The wing root fairings were improved to reduce noise, and smoother edges were made on the vertical stab and rudder tips. Landing gear fuselage fairings were also made to improve appearance and drag qualities. A solid-state voltage regulator was also installed, along with an optional openable co-pilot window and yoke-mounted electric trim switch. A total of 880 Skylanes were built in 1976, with a starting price of $32,150. By the way, all 182s to this point had a service ceiling of 17,700 feet and could use 80-octane fuel. They also have STC approval for the use of autogas through EAA and Peterson Aviation. I'll put a link in the show notes for the STC. As you'll see in a moment, subsequent 182s had a lower service ceiling. In 1977, the 182Q was born. The Q model incorporated the Continental 0470-U, a high-compression engine that generates the same 230 horsepower, but at a lower RPM, 2,400 to be precise, compared to 2,600 required on the 0470-R engine. The -U has a compression ratio of 8.6 to 1 compared to the 7 to 1 on the -R. This minor change equates to lower noise levels and improved climb rate by about 13%. However, it comes at a price. The higher compression engine loses power at altitude at a faster rate, so the surface ceiling of the -U equipped 182s is only 16,500 feet. The 0470-U initially had the same TBO as previous engines of 1,500 hours. However, after 1983, the TBO was increased to 2,000 hours. Now, all -U engines prior to 1983 can be upgraded to the 2,000-hour TBO following overhaul. Vernier mixture controls were also standard. A total of 790 Q models were made that year with a starting price of $34,950. In 1978, the Q designation remained. This time, however, a 28-volt electrical system was installed. This helped solve a common problem experienced by 14-volt 182s. Due to the battery's location in the aft baggage empennage area, starting the aircraft in cold weather was quite troublesome. The 28-volt system helps combat that issue by supplying more electrical power to the starter. Keep in mind, a 24-volt battery costs about 3 times as much as a 12-volt battery. However, 28-volt systems tend to be more reliable and flexible than the 14-volt. Other improvements seen this year included a separate avionics master switch and a flush-mounted window latch. 624 airframes were produced in 1978. Now, I want to briefly touch on the retractable gear 182s. In 1978, Cessna introduced the retractable gear version of the Skyline called the R-182, or often known as the 182RG. Cessna borrowed the landing gear system used on the Cessna Cardinal and modified it to fit the 182. Interestingly, Cessna also replaced the Continental 0470-U engine and installed a Lycoming 0540-J3C5D engine on the 182RG, along with a three-bladed constant-speed propeller. The Lycoming engine produced 235 horsepower and allowed for a gross weight increase to 3,100 pounds. The 182RG can cruise at about 150 knots and burns about 13 gallons an hour. With a total fuel capacity of 92 gallons, you can get about 800 miles with reserves. In 1979, the turbocharged 182RG was introduced, also known as a TR-182. The turbocharging system was designed by Cessna and fitted to the same Lycoming engine. The TR-182 has the same 3,100-pound gross weight and fuel capacity with better high-altitude performance and cruise speeds of about 170 knots. A total of 2,041 182 RGs were built between 1978 and 1986, with a starting price of around $64,000. Other than the engine and landing gear, the 182 RGs shared the same features, systems, and upgrades as its fixed-gear sibling. Now let's get back to the fixed-gear 182s. In 1979, some major changes were made. Probably one of the most significant is the replacement of the bladder-style fuel tanks with integrated fuel tanks. This new wet-wing design resulted in lower maintenance costs and a fuel capacity increase to 92 total gallons and 88 usable gallons. Rubber bladders wear out over time, causing leaks and other issues like water buildup that cannot be sumped out. This would cause a subsequent AD to be issued against the 182s with bladders. I'll put a link in the show notes for this AD for your reference. It's AD 84-10-01. Additional changes including improving the brake master cylinders and an alternator control unit replaced the separate voltage regulator. These changes combined with previous changes from past iterations make the 1979 and on 182s more desirable and therefore in higher demand, which is reflected in their asking prices. We'll look at the market and pricing in more detail in part two of this podcast. In 1980, the Q designation remained. This time, Cessna introduced changes including a redesign of the flap position indicator, a black instrument panel cover, a resettable alternator circuit breaker, a simpler flap electrical system, and a few other minor changes. Cessna made a total of 414 airframes this year. In 1981, more major changes were made. This time, gross weight was increased from 2,950 pounds to 3,100 pounds. However, the increase in gross weight really means a reduction in service ceiling. Previous 182s had a service ceiling of 16,500 feet. 1980 and on 182s have a service ceiling of only 14,900 feet. The rate of climb also drops off from about 1,000 feet per minute down to 865 feet per minute. All things to consider depending on your operating environment. Now, the battery contactor rating was increased to 100 amps and the fuel selector was improved for better feel. The wing root vents were also improved for better ventilation and sealing. A total of about 339 units were produced. At the same time, the Continental engine was optionally replaced by the same turbocharged Lycoming 0540 engine found in the Turbo RG models. Turboed 182s were given the prefix T in front of its designation. The T-182s delivered 235 horsepower. However, cruise performance wasn't much better compared to its normally aspirated sibling. T-182s have a cruise speed of about 158 knots at 20,000 feet versus 142 knots for the normally aspirated engine at 8,000 feet. The real trade-off here is improved performance at high density altitudes and improved climb performance. T-182s proved to be less successful than its ambient breathing sibling. This could be for a variety of reasons, including the price tag. At the time, T-182s sold for about $10,000 to $15,000 more, equal to about $50,000 in today's money. And it was only about $8,000 less than the retractable turbocharged 182. In 1982, Cessna introduced the 182R. Manufacturing improvements were made, including the addition of primer, giving better corrosion resistance and paint resilience. An oil filter was also standard, replacing the oil pressure screen. Now, only about 237 units were produced. If you've been following along, you'll notice that the number of airframes being produced each year was getting smaller and smaller. And this will have a serious effect, as you'll see in a few moments. Now, 1983 saw the continuation of the R model with some improvements. As mentioned earlier, 1983 and on aircraft with the Continental 0470-U engine had their TBO increased from 1,500 hours to 2,000. An electric primer was also installed along with a low vacuum warning light. A split-switch electric trim was an option, which allowed for the use of a faster trim motor. Rear cabin vents were also improved for better airflow. A total of only 74 airframes were built. They had a starting price of $67,050 for normally aspirated and $80,850 for a turbocharged model. Now that's equivalent to about $226,000 in today's money. In 1984, the R model remained with only minor improvements, including dual controls, a gray instrument panel cover, and standard rear seat shoulder harnesses. Only 65 were made that model year. In 1985, Cessna built an additional 106 units with minimal changes. In 1986, 74 airframes were built with no changes. A combination of decreased demand, an increase in liability claims, and other political complications was the impetus for an end of an era. In 1986, production of the 182 ceased after a successful 30-year run. Thankfully, Congress passed the Product Liability and Relief Bill, which provided much-needed protection to manufacturers. Cessna was once again able to resume production of its infamous 182 line. In 1997, production resumed with the 182S model. The S featured a Lycoming 230 horsepower IO540-A1B1A5 engine instead of the traditional carbureted Continental engine. This is likely due to the acquisition of Lycoming in 1985 and Cessna Aircraft in 1992 by super conglomerate Textron, a company that I used to work for. In addition to engine changes, the avionics were modernized, the electrical system was revamped, and seating restraints were improved. Corrosion proofing was also installed with a dual vacuum system. 182Ss had a starting price of $190,600, equivalent to about $330,000 today. About 940 airframes were produced during that four-year period from 1997 to 2000. In 2001, the 182T was introduced. Now, don't get that confused with the T-182, which is the turbocharged airplane. Remember, turbocharged is on the prefix. So, the 182T was introduced. The T model featured the same normally aspirated Lycoming engine as well as a turbocharged Lycoming TIO540-AK1A option, delivering 235 horsepower and designated the T182T. The engine cowling was noticeably improved for better cooling and lower drag. In fact, the cowling design is one of the easiest ways to distinguish a 182T from previous 182 models. 182Ts can cruise at about 150 knots with about a 1,200-pound useful load and a 92-gallon fuel capacity. Garmin avionics were offered in 2004, and a GFC 700 autopilot with WASH GPS was offered in 2007. The 182T is still in production today, with Garmin G1000 NXI avionics available since 2017. All right, so I know I just spit out a ton of information here, and I will have a full transcript of this podcast on our show notes page at airplaneintelpodcast.com for you to review later. However, let me give you a brief summary of everything we just covered. The 1956 Cessna 182 had a gross weight of 2,550 pounds and a useful load of 1,000 pounds, with a fuel capacity of 55 to 60 gallons. They delivered a 135 knot cruise speed and about a 1,200 foot per minute climb thanks to its Continental 047-L engine. Now, 1979, the most significant change was seen in the Q model. Remember, they featured the bladder fuel tanks that were now replaced with the wet wing design, which allowed the sealed portion of the wing structure itself to become the fuel tank. It has a 28-volt electrical system with a 2,950-pound gross weight. The retractable gear 182s were available from 1978 through 1986 and came in both normally aspirated and turbocharged versions. Straight gear 182s had a turbocharged option starting in 1981. The 1986 182R had a gross weight of 3,100 pounds, a useful load of 1,300 pounds, and a 92-gallon total fuel capacity. It cruised at about 142 knots and delivered about 865 foot per minute climb thanks to its high compression Continental 0470-U engine with a 2,000-hour TBO. The 182S came out between 1997 and 2000. The 182T came out in 2001. All of them featured a 3,100-pound gross weight, a 1,200-pound useful load with a 92-gallon fuel capacity. They can climb at about 920 feet per minute and cruise about 150 knots thanks to its Lycoming IO540 engine, delivering 230 horsepower. The Garmin G1000 was introduced into the fleet in 2004, and the GFC 700 autopilot with WASH GPS in 2007. As we wrap up here, I used several sources to develop this episode, namely the Cessna 182 Buyer's Guide from the Cessna Pilots Association. If you found this podcast helpful, I highly recommend picking up a copy of this book from CPA, as it's going to go into much more detail. I'll put a link in the show notes along with all the other mentioned resources on the Cessna 182 at airplaneintelpodcast.com. Now, that's going to wrap it up for us on this episode. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I couldn't be more grateful. Now, be sure to stay tuned for part two of this series, where we'll take a deep dive into the 182 market to see current pricing and inventory, as well as discuss ownership costs and common gotchas. Now, until then, stay safe and keep the dirty side down. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Airplane Intel Podcast. If you liked what you just heard, we hope that you'll subscribe to our show and leave us a rating or review. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching Airplane Intel. To access show notes, episode archives, and other free resources, visit us at airplaneintelpodcast.com. To get a 60-day free trial of CoFlight, head over to coflight.com and use the coupon code PREBUY. Also, if you'd like to support our show, visit us on patreon.com/prebuyguys. And remember, owning an airplane doesn't have to be hazardous to your wealth.